We're looking at the master outlines, and today I'm going to do something that I haven't done in quite some time. I'm literally going to take the next three and I'm going to combine them into one, okay? The reason I'm doing that is because I believe that these three are so closely tied, and the content therein, they really kind of spread it out and made it kind of thin. You know, it's kind of like using butter during the Depression. You slice it thin enough to see through it and cover a whole loaf of bread with it. Any of you ever been there? My great-grandpa used to tell me that when he was a kid. He'd say, yeah, Dad was the one who sliced the butter, and it was so thin you could see through it, and he buttered a whole loaf of bread with it. So you kind of got the knife waved over your bread, and it was buttered, all right? And that's kind of what they did here. So what I'm doing is I'm taking it and pulling it all into one, and I'm calling it God Prepares the Witness, because we're speaking about the importance of witnessing and what witnessing is all about. And many of us today feel that we are not capable of witnessing. Many people in Christ think that they are ill-prepared. And I want to clue you in on something, folks. That's not true. That's the evil one trying to deceive you. And it's an easy deception because we've been told we're dumb from the time we were kids. I really want you to think about that. In our society, we tell kids that they're dumb. You know, we discredit kids. And guess what happens to kids, people? They grow up into adults, and those thoughts stick with us. And in some areas of our lives, we take captive those areas. But then there are some areas that we're fearful of, and in those areas that we're fearful, in those areas that just aren't quite our comfort zone, that's where the lies come back and put walls up. And I want you to understand that when Jesus started his ministry, he didn't go to the priests. He didn't go to the rabbis. He didn't go to the intellectuals of his day to choose his disciples. Who'd he go to? People like you and me. Now you're looking at me saying, but Pastor, you have a college education. That's not where I started this. When I started this, I owned a farm. I shoveled pig poop and cow poop and chicken poop and all kinds of poop. When you own a farm, you get lots of poop. And you got to deal with it. How many of you deal with a lot of poop in your lives? We all do, right? We're all farmers, just of a different sort. And God went into the world, Jesus Christ went into the world and chose the same kind of people that we are, people who were dealing with all kinds of stuff. He chose fishermen. He chose tax collectors. Okay, he chose simple men of sustenance, men and women who worked hard at trying to find a life and trying to find God. And that's where God met us. We are no different than those very men and women that God started with, because Jesus established those people to become witnesses, and that's what we need to understand. God, too, has established you. He is in the process of establishing you. Just as the apostles were chosen by name, he too has chose you by name. That's why you're here. That's why you're listening on the internet right now, because God has called your name. He knows Alana Nash. He knows Lyle Willman. He knows Bob Bolts. He knows each and every one of us from the day we were born. No. From before we were born, we were his thought before anything else was formed. He knew us, and that's his word. And dear brothers and sisters, if God knew us, God is going to prepare us, because it is not up to us to prepare ourselves. If we are to do a thing, we have to empower it. But if God wants something to be done, God is the one who has to empower it. That's why he knew you from before the foundation of the earth, because he knew he needed to prepare you. He needed to prepare me. That's why I went to college. Okay? Couldn't the Holy Spirit have done this? Yes, the Holy Spirit could have done this. But God's word says what? Study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy of the word of God. And you and I need to understand, you too have been approved. How? I'm going to show you that in just a few minutes. But today I want you to understand that as we are moving forward, the disciples, the apostles, became teachers as well. Okay? They didn't just get the information and then keep it. They themselves became teachers. They themselves became those who empowered other men and women to understand and know the things that they knew. That's how the Word of God goes out. It doesn't go out because people come into the church. It goes out because the people in the church go out into the world. We need to understand that. We need to become that. And that's my hope here today. Because the one thing I want you all to understand, the first point of this message, is that God establishes our witness. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians in the second chapter, please. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians in the second chapter. The Apostle Paul here is speaking to the church in Colossae, and the church in Colossae had become corrupt. The church in Colossae had begun to experience problems. The church in Colossae began to allow the world to creep in on them and to fold over on them, and in that they were beginning to walk in sin once again. And God in Paul brings a rebuke upon them. You know, I think it's so amazing. We all look at this as a holy word. This is God's holy word. Amen? Do you realize that every time God spoke the holy word, he was speaking to sinful people? It's kind of amazing when you sit down and read the word for really what it is, because we walk in this sinful body, and all the Bible is a reproof. It gives us the hope of glory, but it shows us that we are the same people year in, year out, from century to century, generation to generation. Nothing changes, including God. He remains the same. He remains the one who is there calling us and preparing us. From the first verse in the second chapter, we read these words. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Blessed be the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we read these words down there in verse 7, what does it say? Rooted and built up. Okay? Rooted and built up. That is God establishing in us, okay? He is rooting us. He is establishing us. He is planting us in His Word. How has He done that? How many of you have been here through the Master's Outline series for the last year and a half? You have been taught. God has instructed you through His Word Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Many of you have been taking notes. You have been thoroughly prepared, because anything and everything that you have ever heard is still in there. This microchip doesn't fail, because the Holy Spirit reboots it when He needs to. That's our guarantee. He says that the Holy Spirit will remind us of all things. And anything that you put in there, students, you're getting ready to go back to school. When you get time to a test, what do? Panic? Yeah. Stop. Remember the promise of Christ. He says in the Spirit, I will remind you of all things. If you trust God with your very being, If you trust God and rely on Him unto the nth degree, if you walk in His ways, if you honor God with your body and mind, He will find Himself faithful. Because God is not a liar. Everything that you have ever studied, how many of you graduated 10 years ago or more? You have in Christ Jesus instant recall if you'll believe the Word of God. And we walk around like,
I don't remember.
You know, how many of us look at our wives and say, honey, where'd I put my keys? How many of us, I just had that thing. I know it was laying right here, and now it's gone. We'll flip the piece of paper over that's laying there. You'll probably find it. I'm speaking out of wisdom here because this has happened to me on many occasions. And you know God puts wives in the world just so that that happens. Today I want you to understand that the master outlines that we have been going through have been given to you, have been that root, have been there to establish you, have planted you in the Word. We have been through the New Testament and some of the Old Testament in a very thorough and full manner. You now understand who God is, who Jesus Christ is, who the Holy Spirit is. You understand the principles within every one of the 15 master outlines. This is the last one. And as you walk into this reality, it's for one purpose. Because God is preparing a witness for Himself. He is preparing you to be that witness into this world because we need to be ready to go out and give the Word of God to those who desperately need it, just as it was given to you. Who gave it to you? God Himself did. Now, He used a man, didn't He? He used a man by the name of Rich Dubs. He used a woman by the name of Marion Helwig and another man by the name of Bob Bolts, and He used another lady by the name of Nancy Herman, and He used another man by the name of Pete Davis, because every one of us who's been a teacher in this place, whether it's to a child or to an adult, God has used us to take the witness of our lives, of His Word, and educate so that we may understand. You and I have been to this place. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 2 and 15. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. When I went to Lancaster Bible College, on the side of the building were these words engraved. From the 15th verse. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Each and every one of you have been in the Word every Sunday that you have been here. That's why we open the Bible. Pastor doesn't show it up on a screen. I don't read it to you and tell you about it. I tell you to turn there. Why? Because the Word is yours. And you need to examine the Word because you need to have the Word in you. And the only way you're going to have it in you is to be part of it, to be one with it, with Him. For He is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word was with God, and the Word is God. Let's speak it as the Jewish people would. The Word is God. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It will never end. The Word is God. And it is, He is, not it, He is in you when you open that Word and you begin reading it. And you come to the understandings that we've been teaching week after week after week. Turn in your Bibles just another chapter over in the third chapter in verses 16 and 17. In verse 16, we read these words. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly, what? Equipped for every good work. You have been equipped. God has put His Word in your heart. How do I know that? Because is the Holy Spirit in you? Are you born again? If you are born again, then the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you. And we know from John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And if you are born again, the Word is in your heart. That's not a figure of speech. That's real. People have said, when is God going to put His Word in our heart? When are we going to know the Word of God? If you have claimed Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God is in you. You can't escape Him. Why do you think every time you sin, you know it's wrong? Why do you think that when you see things going on in our world, you call it an injustice? Why do you think whenever you see people in need, you have compassion upon them? Because the Word of God is in your heart and it is active. And it is as sharp as a double-edged sword, penetrating unto the bone and the marrow, the spirit and the soul. You and I have been trained up. We know God has prepared us. That you need to hear from me today. May I have a little bit of water? There's a good man over there. Normally I bring a cough drop, and I forgot my cough drop. When we come to the place of understanding that God has given us this Word, He has truly planted it in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. It is in us. He is in us. We don't have to remember anything, folks. You have been taught. The Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that you have been taught if you yield yourself to the Spirit. I want to tell you about a conversation I had just the other week. A young lady called my house, and you all know her. She's my son's fiance. She called my house, and she was all broke up because all of you know her dad got burnt in the boat, right? Which, by the way, Rob is really doing well. He's healing great. He still has several areas, you know, your joints, wherever you bend. Okay, those areas are still a little touchy, but they said he has new skin, and they told him, they said, now this is going to sound funny, but the doctors literally told him, you know there are people that pay thousands of dollars to have this done? It's called exfoliation, and they use chemical stuff to burn your skin off to give you new skin. They said, you know, this is a heck of a way to go through it, but just think, you saved yourself thousands of dollars. They were trying to be funny. But he is. He's healing, and they said there's probably going to be no scarring. Praise God. Amen. The church prayed, and the Lord heard, and we're receiving the blessing. And I can't wait to get in His presence, because you know what Pastor's going to do. I'm going to share the Word with him. All right? But Noelle calls me the other day, or a couple weeks ago, and she says to me about her dad and what was going on, and she was in tears, and she just, because she's in Scranton, okay? Is it Scranton, Dan? Scranton. She goes to a college over. Dan knows where the college is. And she's 3.5 hours from Philly, where her dad's going, okay? He was at the shore. And she just needed comfort. And Russell, being the son of the pastor, said, call my dad. Thank you, son. And I talked with her over the phone. And I just shared with her. And I just encouraged her. Thank you, Brother Chuck. Thank you. And I just shared everything that was in me. I didn't know what to say. What was I going to tell a lady? You know, her dad's burnt. I have no idea what he looks like. But I trusted God, and I said, Lord, take my tongue. You've got to speak to this young lady. You've got to talk to her. You've got to calm her. I can't. I don't have the words. I don't have the power. I don't have the authority. But if I yield to you, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Christ Jesus, who resides in me. And the Holy Spirit began talking to her. At the end of our conversation, she said this. She said, Rich, I really want to thank you. She said, I was such a mess. I was so concerned. Because remember, she's going to be a PA, right? So she's thinking all the horrible things that she knows about a burn victim. She said, but right now, she said, I know God has this in control. And I know I can trust Him. And I know that He's going to make my dad okay. I said, sweetheart, that is so wonderful. But don't thank me. I said, because one day you're going to realize, and I hope it's soon, that when you're talking to me and I'm answering you, it's not me answering you. It's truly the Lord. Because my words are not my own. I gave my life away a long time ago. I had to, because I died. And now Christ lives in me. And that was the first time she had ever heard that. And she said, oh my goodness. No one's ever said something like that to me. I said, that's the truth, sweetheart. I can't give you peace. But Christ in me can. And that's who you are. That's who you are if you are in Christ and you yield yourself to His Spirit. Yield yourself up to Him and He will speak through you. He'll use your mouth. He'll use your tongue. He'll use your brain. He'll talk to you in ways, and it's so amazing because you won't believe the stuff that's coming out of your mouth. You're going to say, where did that come from? Just don't get heady and think, man, am I good? Because about that time, He's going to pull the rug out and let you where you deserve to be in your own strength and power. And how much do you have? We need to remember that when we remain humble and in Him, He'll prepare us to bring His Word, His comfort, His encouragement, His life-giving Word to those who need it in their time of need. How many times have you found yourself in a situation and you didn't say a word because you didn't know what to say? When if you'd have yielded yourself to the Spirit, how do you think pastor can preach 2 hours on nothing and give me a topic and I can go for 8? It's not because of me. I'm not that smart. My wife knows that. She'll tell you. And so will I. But I do know this, that when I yield myself to the Spirit of God, He has something to say about everything if we're willing to what? Listen and understand and then hear what He says. What does it mean to hear, folks? Listen and do. Just because you listen does not mean you hear. When you hear, it's because you've listened, understood, and are now doing what you listen to. That is to hear. I can remember when my mom would say it to me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yes, Mom, I'm listening. I cannot believe how well I answered that question. Because that was the truth. I was listening. I wasn't hearing. But I had no idea I was acting biblically. But God wants us not only to listen, but to hear and to do. Because God is preparing us. He has given us every word to rebuke, correct, and teach and equip in righteousness. And we have all been trained up by it. As we, point number two, as we are established and as we have studied and as God's Word has now equipped us, we must now follow God's command to take that word out into the world. God wants us to become farmers once again. Because now we're to go plant seed. That's what being a witness is all about. It's about planting seed. It is not about going door to door and knocking on every door and saying, you know, if you were to die today, where would you go? I mean, that is one way to plant seed. But there are many ways to plant seeds. And you and I need to understand that God definitely equips His people because God wants us to go out into the world and take that word with us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 3:15. I wanted to use this whole piece of scripture, but there's just so much going on here today. I whittled it down to two pieces here. But I encourage you to read 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, the whole way through this, the rest of this chapter here, okay? From verse 8 to whole way through. Read that on your own time. But I'm going to pull out, I'm going to take the Delmonico's out of this piece of meat, okay? I'm going to take the goodly portion. And here's the goodly portion for today, because we all know that you can read the Word any point in time and God makes another piece appear to you. Well, this is the portion for today. It says, but in your hearts, verse 15, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. You and I need to understand that there are going to be people who are going to come against us, that there are going to be people who are going to come against this word that we're going to take out there. That's not against us, all right? They're coming against God. The reality is, throughout history, they have killed the messenger. The amazing thing is, you can't kill the message, because the message is eternal. And in fact, the one messenger we couldn't kill either, because he came back from the grave. Amen. Because not only was he the messenger, but he is the message of salvation, for he is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we realize that you and I are to be prepared, what does it mean to be prepared? That means that we need to study. That means that we need to come to church. That means you need to listen to what pastor's telling you. Listen to what the discipleship hour teachers are telling you. Mary, did you see me get that right? Miss Dottie's not here to hear it. We need to listen. Mull it over in our minds. Pray to God for the understanding. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, He will illuminate us and give us the hope of the glory of the gospel. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't understand anything of God. For we do not have His mind. We have a finite mind. But in us dwells the fullness of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you and I can understand all things and take that word out into the world. We're to be prepared. You are prepared. You have heard the word. You are prepared. Stop listening to the evil one who says, oh, don't say anything, you might make a fool out of yourself. Well, if that was the case, I'd never open my mouth. Because I know who Rich Dubs is. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, I know who God is and I trust Him. And He will speak His words of truth through everyone who yields himself to Him. You and I need to be prepared to go out and deposit that seed. Turn in your Bible to the book of Acts in chapter 16. The book of Acts in chapter 16. In the 16th chapter, we're going to be in the 29th through 34th verse. In chapter 16, beginning in the 29th verse, the Apostle Paul, and there's a reason I'll tell you here in just a minute, the Apostle Paul and Silas have been arrested, right? We all know this scripture. We've read it several times. And they're in jail. And something miraculous is going to happen. And I want you to see here, this is one of the ways, this is one of the approaches that is used. This is one of the ways God uses us to sow seed into this world. Okay? This is just one example, but let's read it from verse 29. It says, the jailer called for lights. Remember, there had been an earthquake and the bars opened up and he was going to kill himself and Paul stopped him. So the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What just happened? God entered into the equation and he set the stage. Do we have to set the stage? No. God sets the stage. But we need to be ready to be the ones to speak that word of truth, because the word of truth comes by the hearing. And how will they hear? Lest they are taught. And how will they teach? Lest they are sent. I just taught you all this stuff just the other week. Do you remember? So the Apostle Paul is there. Silas is there. The jailer asked, what must I do to be saved? And they stood around and said, I don't know. No, they didn't. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, and he and his whole family. What happened there? God had a field prepared. God plowed the good earth. God opened up the earth to receive the seed so that it would bring forth fruit. And it just didn't bring one. It brought a whole household. Some of the ground is going to receive the seed, and it will grow 30, 60, 100-fold. That's what we're talking about. This is what is called the direct approach. When God opens the door and supernaturally makes things happen that you are prepared, don't be afraid to simply say, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one may come to God but through the Son. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? In those instances, that's all you need to do, is be available to the Spirit and speak what the Spirit puts on your mouth. Now, does that mean the next time that this happens to you, you see God opening up a field because there's been an earthquake and chains have been dropped and this guy comes out screaming, what must I do to be saved, that that's what you're to say? I have no idea what you're to say. What I'm telling you is, be available to the Holy Spirit. Let your tongue be His. In a moment's prayer, Lord, speak to this man. Lord, speak to this woman. In your mind, submitted, committed, God will speak to that individual through you. Just start to utter. It's that simple. People think it's difficult. No, I'm not speaking tongues. Okay? They're intelligible words. When you submit yourself to God, He is going to speak in a manner that others are going to be able to understand. It has happened throughout history and it will continue to happen because it's His story. It's not mine. You have been prepared. There is a direct approach. There's also an indirect approach. What does the indirect approach look like? How do we sow seed indirectly? Well, turn back in your Bible to chapter 8 in the book of Acts. We're going to go to verse 26. Because sometimes God puts circumstances in your life that you know somebody has a need. You know somebody's hurting. You know somebody needs a word of encouragement, whatever. That is when God is preparing you to sow the seed indirectly. Whew. Thank you, Brother Chuck. I just keep going and don't realize how dry I am until there ain't nothing there no more. From the 26th verse, we read these words. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Now, what's the indirect method? The indirect method is, because of a circumstance in your life, you know someone has just gone through a hardship, someone is entering a hardship, cancer, disease, divorce, whatever it may be, death, a job gone south, whatever it may be, you know that person is hurting. And you can go in and you can begin to talk to that person about the situation that they're in because they have a need. But what they don't understand is what they need is Jesus Christ, because he gives us the answers to all life, not just one little situation. God himself said to those who were blind, "What do you want?" And they said, "We want to see." He said, "Really?" And they said, "Yes." And when Jesus healed them, he didn't just heal them physically, he healed them spiritually. Because to see, we know what it means. It is to see God, to know God, to understand God. And that only comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we put ourselves in a situation, when we allow ourselves to be used of the Spirit in a situation where a person has a need, and we can't fill that need. I'm sorry, I can't build you a house if you've had a house fire. But you know what? I know who can give you comfort. I know who can give you peace. I know who can take away all the doubts in your life. The Apostle Peter went to the blind man who was begging, or to the man who was begging, and he said, "Gold and silver have I not, but what I have I freely give you. Get up and walk." Talk about an indirect method. You and I have that authority to speak into the lives of people who have needs, and then to see God reach out into their lives and give them that need filled, not by our desires, but by God's will. How many of you know and understand, at least in some part, that God does not give us what we want? He gives us what we need, right? Now, how many of you are fully happy with that, 100%? Thank you for being honest. Because here's the reality. We all still find ourselves in human bodies, don't we? And Lord, I know I don't need to win that lotto, but boy, it sure would be nice.
Dan's over here shaking his head, nope.
Because there's something we need to realize. If God gives us a whole lot, we're responsible for a whole lot. But why would God give us responsibility with something huge when we can't even be responsible with the little that we have? I think Marion taught me that. Good teacher. Brothers and sisters, God has prepared you. God has prepared the seed in you. Now there's only one final thing to worry about, and that is, what kind of soil is it going to land on when we finally do seed the soil? Because God wants us to understand, this is my third point, God wants us to understand that as we go out, we are going to find four different types of soil. And we can't take offense to the soil that we find, all right? We can't take offense. We can't say, "Oh, well, I don't want to plant over there." It's not our field. It's his field. It's not our seed. It's his seed, okay? He'll give us more seed. He'll take us to other pastures. He'll take us to other places. But we need to do what God tells us to do when we get there. Because for some of us, we're helping God prepare the soil. For others, it's already been prepared, but now we need to water it and nurture it a little bit. And for others, hey, it is so ready. All it needs is the word of power spoken into it, and it's going to burst forth into fruit. How do I know that? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to Matthew in the 13th chapter. Matthew in the 13th chapter. Checking my time. I'm running close, Miss Sally. It says here in the 13th chapter, in the third verse, the words of Christ. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. God is telling us, do you understand what I'm talking about? And the apostles were ignorant because they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. So guess what Jesus had to do? He had to explain it to them. And aren't you glad he wrote it down for us? Because that's sometimes we are ignorant also. Ignorance not a bad thing. It's not a cut. It simply means unaware. And what does he say? From verse 9, or from verse 18, he explains to them the parable. And in verse 18, he says these words. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only for a short time. For when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Brothers and sisters, you and I, as we're out there preparing ourselves, as God is preparing us, He needs us to understand that we are going to speak the Word of God into hardened hearts. Hearts that are so cold to Him that they'll not receive any of it, and the evil one simply takes it away. Those are the people that we need to simply pray for, that God would continue to work on them and fallow that ground, soften that heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because how many of us who are in Christ now can remember when that's where we were? For we hated God. We did not seek Him at all. We wanted nothing to do with Him because we were hard of heart. The second type of person that we're going to meet is the shallow-hearted. That is a person who receives it with joy. Oh, that's wonderful. That's so good to hear. And as soon as a little bit of trouble comes, they throw it away as if they've never heard the word of truth, as if they've never experienced the blessing of the Lord. There's a lot of people like that in our world because the world has a way of making us want to worry about it. Chasing after the things of this world is the next one. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those who are so wrapped up in the troubles that they find themselves in that they don't realize that the help to their trouble is the one that they just heard about. That's why they produced a little bit and then it was ripped away from them because their soil was not deep, because they've not been in the Word. They've not allowed the Word of God to penetrate them to a depth that it can grow something of good nature. The third type of person that we meet out there is the worldly-hearted. These are those who hear the word and it sprouts up and it starts to grow, but so too do the tares of the earth, because all the things of the earth have an equal value to them. That's the church of today. That is the church of America today. Because the church of America has incorporated all of the junk, all of the sin, all of the apostasy of the world, and thrown it in the mix with Jesus Christ and said, it's soup. Aren't you glad I'm Pennsylvania Dutch? Because you all understood everything I just said. Those poor people on the internet right now are thinking, what? God is not in the mix when that's the case. It is not soup. It's a mess, because the tares are going to choke it out. The tares are going to destroy it, because the harvester cannot come through and separate the sin from the good. And in that reality, those people are going to find damnation. That's the church of Laodicea. Paul was praying for them in the scriptures that we were reading earlier. Have you ever read the book Revelation, where it talks about the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church? That's the lukewarm church. They've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and they think they've got it. Well, guess what? They've got both feet planted firmly in hell, and that's the truth. Because God says, I am about to spit you out. And if God spits you out, do you think he's going to take you back up again? No, because he is not a dog that returns to its vomit. That's God's word. But then there's a fourth type that we're going to encounter. There's a fourth type, and that's the understanding heart. That's the one who's been prepared. That's the one who's been through the tests and the trials and is now ready and submitted and open to hear, desiring truth. And when we plant the seed of truth into that life will receive it with joy, and in abundance it will begin to grow, and it will produce a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. Brothers and sisters, that's you. That's why I'm telling you all this, because you need to go out and produce that crop. Producing that crop doesn't happen sitting in the pew. Producing that crop happens being out there in the world and bringing the word of Christ into the world. If I take a seed and I plant it in the ground and it produces an ear of corn, I can eat that ear of corn and be satisfied now. Or I can take that corn, let it go to seed, and I can plant it next year again and it'll produce even more. How many kernels of corn are in an ear of corn? Brother David, 120. I have no idea, but do you know what I'm getting at? It's an abundance. That one kernel grows many, many, many seeds. Now you take those many, many, many seeds and plant them in the ground, and you've got a field of corn that not only you can eat from, but you can help feed some of your neighbors and yet keep seed to plant the next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year, and the next year, because it continues to multiply as we take it out and do what is apportioned unto the seed. Brothers and sisters, I've given you the fullness of the message for this day. God has truly prepared you. You are prepared to give the good seed out into this world. You have been taught. God has prepared you as a witness. God has given you the methods in which you need to speak the word of truth. And you know the word of truth, for he resides in you. And you now understand that there's four different types of people out there that you're going to meet. Next week, we're going to talk about the invitation. And the following week, Brother David is going to preach on the 6th of September. And on the 6th of September, he is going to tell us how to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ. How to make the invitation. Okay? How to make the invitation. Because you need to understand, how do you approach a person? How do you speak to those people? How do you make the invitation? Okay? How do you prepare it? But then, once you're there, what is the invitation? And that's what Brother David's going to be speaking on. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to wrap this thing up then in one final, the following week. And after that, I'm going to talk to you about something, because we're going to go into a time of worship. Miss Sally, you may head up. We're going to go into a time talking about worship, but I'm taking a week off from our outlines, because the next outline that we're going to do is one that I created on worship, because I think it's important for the people of God to understand what worship is all about. But I also know this. I went on vacation the other week, and God illuminated me to some things that are coming, and I need to speak them to the church. And you need to be prepared, because there is a time coming, and it's already here, where the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be persecuted, and we're not going to know which direction to go. But the reality is, if we truly trust God, we already know the direction. We just need to stay steadfast. So in 3 weeks, excuse me, 4 weeks, we're going to be preaching on this, finishing this up in 3 weeks. In 4 weeks, I'm going to deliver to you a message that the Lord prepared for me, and I had to live it for a week. And I'll guarantee you, going on vacation with God sometimes is not fun until He reveals truth. Once He reveals truth, He redeems the whole week. But it's amazing what you're going to hear. And it's going to apply to every life. And it's going to help us set sail for what is coming ahead into the weeks, months, and years that we have left. And I guarantee you, it's only a few. As I see things in my, I don't know the day nor the hour, I won't claim to. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. But look at the signs, which, by the way, next month, about the time I'm going to preach, it's going to be one of the biggest signs that we've had in a long time. It will be the fourth blood moon. Are we prepared for God to reveal Himself? I am, and I pray you are too. Would you join me this day as we come to the Lord in prayer? Gracious Father, You have prepared Your children. You have prepared a great witness before You. And now, as that witness is prepared, may we go forward into this world knowing that yet there is yet more to come as we bring the Word of Christ into this world, as we understand who we are and whose we are and how You wish to use us, so that we may be committed unto You. Gracious Lord, we ask that as we are here this day, that You would pour out Your Spirit in heaven, that You would bless us with the amen of all amens, that as we go forward, Your hand is over us, that speaks the as it may be, because You have given us the hope of glory. You have hemmed us in. You have strengthened us. You have given us every need. You have given us Your all. And now may we take that all out into the world in the full protection of the gospel, knowing the glory therein, that the Church of Jesus Christ is victorious over death. For Lord, this world does not hold us any more than it held You. For these things we give Thee thanks in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.